So reminder, final starts at 8 on Monday, so 8, not 8:10. I'll probably send an email around to everybody to make sure that that's clear. 8 to 11. Nothing to bring, no calculators. We'll provide paper, just something to write with, erase with. Let's see. Okay, and final office hours today, then 3 to 5. My office, 1055 Evans. Okay, so today then I just want to finish up going over the practice final, going over the last five problems, or as many of these as we can get through. So again, I imagine that the final will be similar in the sense that, I counted here, there's like one problem that comes from strictly, midterm one material. There's three and a half problems that come from strictly chapter two material, and there's five and a half problems that come from strictly after midterm two material. That kind of balance is also what I think the final will be like, again, covering everything. Of course, some of the things build on things we did earlier, but that kind of breakdown that's on the practice final, I think that's similar to how the final will be. Okay, so we looked at the first five problems on Wednesday. So starting with problem six, compute the derivative of this function. So this function is some complicated looking expression. And again, the question is just to compute the derivative of this. So when I wrote this up, the way that I was thinking that you should do this was just by brute force. There's going to be some quotient rule applied first, and then after that, a product rule, chain rules all along the way. That's how I was thinking that you should compute this. A couple of you pointed out to me after Wednesday that there's a simpler way of computing this that I'll mention at the end, but. Without that simpler way, I think this is still something you should be able to just crank out one step at a time, just using these different differentiation rules. So even though if I gave you something like this on the final, you're welcome to compute it however you like. If you find some simpler way than the way I'm going to describe, that's perfectly fine. But you should still be able to at least do it this way. Do it this way in practice, just to get practice working with quotient rule, product rule, and so on. Okay. But definitely, as a first step, before computing derivatives, we should try to simplify things as much as possible. In this case, there's one nice simplification we can do, right? That's natural log of x squared. We can bring that 2 out in front and write that as 2 natural log x. So I'll just write that in here. Natural log of x squared. Write that as 2 natural log x. That's, just one small simplification. It's not going to make that big a difference, but for some other functions, doing something like that may definitely make a big difference. Okay, so we're just going to write all of this out. Right, so first step is a function divided by another function. So first we have to apply the quotient rule. So this will probably take a few boards to write out loud. I'll try to make it clear, how we're doing this step by step. So derivative, first again, quotient rule. So denominator times derivative of the numerator. For now, let me just write that as ddx of the numerator. So ddx of that numerator. Right, so again, that's denominator times derivative of the numerator minus, so I'm going to have to continue this on the second line here, minus the numerator times derivative of the denominator right. So that whole thing, that's all our numerator here in this derivative. And then all of that over that original denominator squared. So all of this, divided by the denominator squared, square root of 2x squared plus x, all squared, that'll get rid of the square root. So that'll just be a 2x squared plus x. Okay, so first up again, this was the quotient rule. And so now next steps to finish this off, we then have to compute this derivative here and then this derivative here. Okay. So we'll keep going on. So let me say, you know, when you're if you're writing something like this, something like this out on the final, you know, I'm not going to expect you to keep writing, you know, this part down every time you do these other steps. So for example, when over here on the board, I'll just write down this derivative, and then we'll compute this derivative, and then we'll just, you know, draw some arrows showing, you know, where those derivatives go. So something like that would be good enough on the final. You know, something like this, you can then compute on a separate part of your answer sheet, as long as you make it clear, you know, that what you're computing is supposed to go in this piece here. So I'm saying you don't have to write out a whole big answer at the end. That's a really complicated looking expression. You know, you can compute different pieces in different locations, as long as it's clear to us that you know what goes where. Okay, so next step then. We need this derivative, the derivative of that numerator term. So I'll write that out here, derivative of e to the x squared minus 1 times 2 natural log x. Okay. So this is going to be a product rule then, product rule application. So derivative of that first e term, so that same thing itself, e to the x squared minus 1, times the derivative of that exponent, so times 2x times the second 2 natural log x piece left alone. Right. So that's, again, derivative of this first term times second term, the first thing that shows up in the product rule. And then other way around, that first piece left alone, that e to the x squared minus 1, times the derivative of 2 natural log x, that'll be derivative of natural log x is 1 over x. So derivative of 2 natural log x will be 2 over x. Okay. So this was a product rule together with some chain rules along the way at this step here. Okay, so this whole thing then is the piece that would go into this parentheses, the derivative of e to the x squared minus 1, 2 natural log x. Again, I wouldn't, you know, you don't have to rewrite that whole thing, plugging this in for that, as long as you make it clear, you know, that this is the piece that's supposed to go right here. Okay. And so the last thing we need then is this derivative of the square root of 2x squared plus x. So, again, we'll just compute that separately. Right, and again, just make it clear that, where this computation is supposed to go in your actual answer. Okay, so this is just rewriting this. Derivative of 2x squared plus x to the 1/2 power. This is then just going to be a general power rule, or power rule together with the chain rule, right? So the 1/2 comes down, inside stays the same, subtract 1 from the exponent, right? And then times the derivative of the inside, that'll be a 4x plus 1. Okay, so this here then, we're saying is this derivative of the square root, which that shows up in this location, this up here, is this derivative that shows up in this location. Okay, so again, writing your final answer, you know, that, together with this, labeling, you know, making sure that, you know, this piece goes here, that'll be enough for a final answer. Okay, so I think on the solutions, I actually take these things and plug it all in and write out what that final answer will actually be, but I'm saying, you know, you don't have to repeat all of this on the final. Just make it clear that that you know what goes where. Okay, questions? Okay, so you know the whole point of a problem like this is really, you know, testing quotient rule, product rule, chain rule, kind of testing all of these different differentiation techniques all at once. Okay, and again, let me emphasize that before you compute any derivatives, you should try to simplify things as much as possible. Maybe there'll be something on the final where there's more simplifications you can do that'll give you something even simpler to differentiate. Okay. All right, so that's problem 6. Okay, so 7 then is an optimization problem. So we have some aquarium with a square base. So I'll just draw a picture. So we're designing some aquarium with a square base. Square base, so right, this length and this length are the same. Call those x. Some height that we'll denote by h. And we're told that we want this aquarium to have a certain volume, hold a certain amount of water. We're given some costs for, you know, the metal we need to make up the base, the glass we need to make up the sides, and we want to somehow minimize costs, right? So the first thing to look for is what is the problem actually asking for. The problem at the end is asking to determine the dimensions that minimize cost. So that's really what we want. Our goal is to minimize cost. Right? So I'm saying, you know, before we look at the actual other specifics of the problem, you know, make sure you read through what the problem is actually asking for. Minimize cost in this case, so our objective function should be a function that gives us the total cost. And then anything else we have might go into the constraint we need. Okay, so first thing we need then is a function that's going to give us the total cost of making this aquarium. Okay, so we're told that that the material needed for the metal base, that's $4 per square foot. So I'll just note that $4 per feet squared. So that's the base, the metal base. And we're told that the glass needed for the size, the glass costs $3 per square foot. So sides, $3 per square foot. Okay. So how are we going to find this total cost then? The total cost is going to come from writing down an expression giving us the cost of the base plus the cost of each of the four sides. So let me just write these pieces down separately. Cost of base. All right, just to make it clear where each term is coming from, cost of base, the base is x squared. Area of the base is x squared. Right, the length times width of the base, x times x, times $4 per square feet. So 4x squared for the total cost of the base. Cost of each side right, cost of each side that's made out of glass. So again, it's going to be the area of each side times the cost of each side, times the cost per square foot. So cost of one side is going to be h times x. Right, each side of glass has one length x and a height h. So h times x times $3 per square foot, 3xh then for the total cost of making one side of this aquarium. Okay, so now we can write down what our final overall cost function is going to be. So So I mentioned in the previous problem that there was another way of doing that problem that a few of you pointed out. I forgot to mention that. I'll mention that after we finish this problem. So our total cost then right. So that's going to come from the cost of the base, which is the 4x squared. Cost of each side is 3xh, and there's four sides. So 3xh plus itself four times, that'll give us the 12xh for the cost of all sides together. Okay. So this is the function that we want to minimize in this case, so we want to optimize. And our constraint our constraint is then coming from the fact that we're told we want this aquarium to hold 18 cubic feet of water. So saying we want the volume of this aquarium to be 18 cubic feet. So the volume is x times x times h, x squared h. And we're saying that should equal 18. Okay, so we want to minimize this cost function with this constraint that x and h are satisfying this second equation. Okay, questions so far? Okay. So at this point, now it's just an optimization problem. Use the constraint to solve for one of the variables, plug that back into the cost, and then minimize the resulting function as you would minimize anything else. So we have to solve for one of the variables in the constraint. Which one should we solve for? Notice if you try to solve for x, so you get x squared is 18 over h, and then to solve for x, you have to take a square root. You should avoid that. You should avoid anything as much as possible. Avoid square roots as much as you can. So instead, we'll solve for h in the constraint. H will be 18 over x squared. The point is there's no square roots there. That'll be a simpler thing to do computations with. So h is 18 over x squared. Plug that back into our cost function then. So our cost function will be 4x squared, right, plus 12x times 18 over x squared. So that'll be 12 times 18 over x. So notice that x in the 12xh will cancel with one of the x's in this expression for h. 12 times 18 over x, and 12 times 18, surprisingly, is one of the things that I tell you in this hint. 12 times 18 is 216. Right, that's why I said that on the hint, so that you wouldn't have to worry about what 12 times 18 was. I'm telling you that it's going to be 216. Okay, so here's our final cost function then. Right, so we're trying to minimize cost, take the derivative, set it equal to 0, and solve for x. Okay. So derivative of cost. So cost prime, right? 8x for the first piece. 216 over x, that's 216 times x to the negative first power. So derivative will have a negative coming down. 216 x to the negative 2. X to the negative 2, I'll write it as an x squared in the denominator. So that's the derivative of our cost function. Set that equal to 0 then, and solve for x. Right? Again, just how you would maximize or minimize any other function. So move things around. 8x is 216 over x squared. Right? So you multiply both sides by x squared, divide both sides by 8. So that'll give us an x cubed on the left here, dividing both sides by 8, 216 over 8 on the right side. And 216 over 8 is something that I give you. That's going to be 27. Again, that's why I gave that that calculation to you, so that you wouldn't have to try to figure that out yourself. 216 over 8, 27. So we end up with x cubed is 27. So cube root of 27, that's going to be 3. Okay. So we find this derivative is 0 when x is 3, right, telling us that this dimension of the aquarium, the length of one side of the base, is going to have to be 3 feet. 3 feet, I'm not going to care too much about units. Okay. So that's one of the dimensions we want. Now we still have to go back and find this other dimension, this height of this aquarium, h. You know, how do we find h? We come back to our constraint, or even, you know, when we use the constraint to solve for h here in terms of x, all we have to do now is plug in for x and compute what h is going to be. So x is 3, the constraint is, or again, after we rewrite the constraint, h is 18 over x squared. So that's going to be 18 over 9 when we plug in for x, height of 2. Okay. So dimensions that minimize the cost of the aquarium, length of the base 3 feet, and height of the aquarium 2 feet. Okay, and I say that you don't have to check, you know, you don't have to check that these dimensions actually give you a minimum cost, meaning, you know, no second derivative test. All I'm looking for here is just these dimensions. Okay, other questions? Okay, so. So let me come back to say one thing about problem 6 that I forgot. So again, problem 6, we're looking to compute the derivative of this function, which we did just by, you know, brute force, quotient rule, product rule, so on. But there's another way of doing this, using logarithmic differentiation. So logarithmic differentiation, I said, it's not something that you'd be required to know. That's true. There's nothing on the final where I'm going to require you to use that. But if you remember how to use it, you know, you're welcome to use it if it'll make things simpler. I'm not going to require that you know how to use it, but you're welcome to if you think it might help. So in this case, the point is, before taking derivatives, you can take natural log of both sides. So you get natural log of f of x is going to be natural log of this whole right-hand side, and the point is natural log of this whole right-hand side. You can simplify all of that. You know, first thing, natural log of something over something is going to be natural log of the numerator minus natural log of the denominator. So for example, natural log of this right-hand side, you can first simplify like that, and then you keep going here, natural log of something times something else, that's going to be natural log of the first part plus natural log of the second part. So this you can further simplify. This is 2x plus x squared. So this may have been 2x squared or 2x squared plus x. Right? So this square root, that's 2x squared plus x to the 1/2, natural log of that to the 1/2 power, that 1/2 comes down. So this piece here, you can simplify to 1/2 natural log of 2x squared plus x. You know, similarly, there's some other simplifications you can do here. The point is that using this logarithmic differentiation, you can actually somehow simplify this expression. Maybe end up giving you something simpler to actually compute. Okay, so that would have been another way of doing this, but you know, not something that I would require you to know. I would still expect that you'd be able to compute compute this derivative the way that we did it, without using logarithmic differentiation. So, can use logarithmic differentiation if it might help, but you won't have to use it. Okay, so again, that was something I totally missed when I was coming up with this problem, thanks to those of you who pointed it out. Okay, questions? All right. So, problem eight is a graphing then. Graphing a function, graphing a curve. Y is 11 plus 9x minus 3x squared minus x cubed. Okay. So let me also point out that there are a few questions that some of you had. Some of the problems on the end of chapter supplementary exercises, some of those involved graphing functions that had like a natural log in it, you know, maybe something like graph y equals natural log of x all squared. And the question was, you know, did we really cover how to do these things in class? So we actually did one day we definitely did some examples of graphing functions that looked like this. But the point is, you know, it shouldn't matter what the function looks like. The way that we graph this is going to be exactly the same way as how we graph this first function, namely this graphing technique that we've seen will work for any function whatsoever. So, you know, if you've never seen graphing where you have a natural log x before, that shouldn't matter. It's going to be the same exact technique as any other kind of graphing problem. Similarly, if you have a function that has an e term in it, you know, how do you graph something like that? It doesn't matter if we didn't really talk about how to graph things that have an e-term in them before. It's going to be exactly the same graphing technique that you would use for this type of function in this problem. So, definitely, you know, I think any function I give you, even if it's not something that we've technically seen exactly before, you know, you should be able to graph it. It's just the same graphing technique as anything else. All right. So, first step. As always, find possible maximums and minimums, right? That'll tell us where the graph is turning, and then we use inflection points and intercepts to maybe draw a little bit more precise picture. But definitely, first step always, you know, find maximums and minimums. So, take the derivative, 9 minus 6x minus 3x squared, right? Set that equal to 0 and solve for x. So before I set it equal to 0, let me just simplify this a bit. Say I'll just factor a negative 3 out of everything just to get some simpler coefficients. So factor a negative 3 out of every term. And then let me write the squared piece first, x squared. All right, the negative 6x will become a 2x, and the 9 will become a negative 3. Okay. So I just factored out this negative 3 only so that now this thing we're left with in parentheses, I think is easier to see how to factor that as opposed to the original function we had. This original derivative we had. Okay, so. So set the derivative equal to 0. Let's just go ahead and factor this term we're left with in parentheses. Negative 3, x squared plus 2x minus 3. That'll become x plus 3 times x minus 1. Okay, so we set that equal to 0. And then solve for x. So, right, we'll get x equals negative 3 or x equals 1. Okay, so we're going to have possibly two points where we have either a maximum or a minimum. Okay, so now let's determine which one we actually have at these, whether we have a maximum or a minimum. So that'll be a second derivative test. So compute the second derivative of our function. So the first derivative was at 9 minus 6x minus 3x squared. So take the derivative of that. That'll give us a negative 6 minus 6x. Right, so if we plug in these values, right, so if we plug in negative 3, that'll give us negative 6 plus 18. That'll be positive. That's the important part there. So positive second derivative at negative 3. That's going to tell us that negative 3 is going to be a minimum, a relative minimum of our function. And then at x equals 1, right, plug in x equals 1, negative 6 minus 6, that'll be negative. So 1 is going to be a relative maximum of our function. So minimum and maximum. And while we're at it, if we set the second derivative equal to 0, that'll give us x is negative 1. So x is negative 1 will give us an inflection point. Okay, so minimum, maximum, one inflection point. I think I said, you know, don't worry about the intercepts, you know, the y-intercept is easy. Y-intercepts are just when you plug in x equals 0. That'll just be y equals 11. The x-intercept will be harder. For the x-intercept, you would have to set y equal to 0 itself and solve for x. That's going to be hard to do. That's why I said don't worry about the intercepts when you're graphing. Okay, so we can almost draw our graph question. Yeah. That's what you're going to get when you set the second derivative equal to 0. Right. So inflection point. Setting the second derivative equal to 0 and solving for x. Yeah. Yeah, that was my next comment. Right, so we're almost at the point we can graph, except so far we've only found the x coordinates of this minimum, maximum, inflection point. We also have to find the corresponding y coordinates. Let me actually, you know, save that for you to do. It's in the solutions, but that's just a matter of taking these x values we found, plugging them back into the original function, finding what the corresponding y value is for those points. Okay. But just to give an idea of what this is going to look like then, right? So we're saying at negative 3, we'll have a minimum. So at y equals negative 3, we'll have a minimum. At x equals negative 3. At x equals 1, we'll have a maximum. And then an inflection point at negative 1. Okay. Let me find the corresponding y coordinate at 1. So if we plug in 1 into that original thing, I think that'll be 16. 29, sorry. Okay, yeah. So 1 comma 16, that's going to be this maximum. You know, so all I'm going to say, you know, of course you can plug in negative 3 to find the actual y coordinate at negative 3, but at least we know that it has to be smaller than 16, right? We know that if this is going to be a maximum, right? Whatever the actual point at negative 3 is, it's going to have to be something smaller than 16. Otherwise, this 16 wouldn't have this maximum shape. So, again, I can't remember quite exactly what that actual y value is, but if it's something like down here, you know, that's going to be a maximum. And so, based on that, you know, pretty much alone, we can draw a pretty good drawing of our function. You know, something that'll have to come up here. Have an inflection point at -1, so that's where it'll change concavity, and then coming off, hitting this maximum at 1. Right, something like that. Okay, and again, I'm saying these points you can really label more precisely if you find the y values at those points. Okay, but there's kind of roughly what this function would look like. Okay, questions? Yeah. So for this question, let me see. So there was, right, so one maximum, one minimum inflection point, you know, maybe 7, maybe like 2 points for the minimum, 2 points for the maximum, 2 points for the inflection, and 1.4 for the drawing, something like that. 7 or 8. Okay, other questions? Okay. So problem 9 is finding the area between two curves. I should say also, you know, that for something like this, you should, you know, at the end, even if you find, you know, all of this information above, you still have to draw a picture at the end to get full credit. You know, there were a lot of people on the second midterm who had like all this beautiful work beforehand, finding all maximums and minimums and inflection points, but then just didn't draw a picture at the end. You know, that was like 2 points, you know, maybe two points off or something. You should definitely draw a picture at the end matching the work you did. Okay. So 9, find the area between these two curves. So y is negative x minus 1 squared plus 3, and y equals x. Okay, so I think in this case, there's only going to be 2 intersection points. But again, you know, even if there's more intersection points, the way that you set this up is going to be the same. So first step, always find the intersection points. So intersection points. Right, that's going to happen when the two y values are equal to each other. So we set the y value for the first curve equal to the y value for the second curve, and solve for x. Okay, so we just have to multiply all of this out, simplify this equation. Hopefully, you know, get it into the form that we can factor it. So, you know, this left hand side. That's x squared minus 2x plus 1. Right, this is the square term. So let me just kind of to save some space here, let me just do this in one step. So what are we gonna do? We're gonna multiply by this negative, through this whole first piece in parentheses, add the 3, and then I'm gonna move everything over to the right side. You know, so for example, we have this negative x squared. Move that over to the right side. It'll give us a positive x squared. Right, we'll have this positive 2x here on the left. Positive 2x, when we move that over, that'll become negative 2x. So we'll have an x minus 2x. That'll give us a negative x on the right-hand side overall. And then we have this negative 1 plus the 3, 2, move that over, and that'll be a negative 2. Okay. So again, all I did was just, you know, take this equation, multiply everything out, combine like terms, and then move everything over to the right side. Okay, and now that's something we can factor. That'll be x minus 2 times x plus 1. Okay. So set that equal to 0, solve for x, we'll get x is going to be negative 1 or 2. Okay, so two intersection points, one at an x value of negative 1, and the other at an x value of 2. Okay, so that's going to give us then what we're going to integrate from. We're going to set up, you know, to compute this area, we're going to set up an integral integrating from negative 1 to 2. And then last thing to determine is between those intersection points, right, which is the function on top, which is the function on bottom, right? The integral we need, the integral from negative 1 to 2 of whichever of these functions is the one above minus whichever of these functions is the one below. So to determine which function is on top, which one is above, all we're going to do is take some value between these intersection points, you know, say x equals 0, plug that in and see which one gives you the larger y value. So let me see this here. So we'll just test that x equals 0. Again, just some point between the intersections. Yeah? Shouldn't it be 2x? Where? Over here? Let's see. So here we'll have a 2x. Right? When I take that 2x and move it over to the right-hand side, I'll have an x minus 2x, and that's what gives me that negative x. Okay, so again, take some point between these intersections, x equals 0, pretty simple value of x, plug it in. So let me call this curve 1 and this curve 2. All right, so curve 1 will give, negative 1 plus 3, 2, y value of 2, and the second curve will give a y value 0. So between these intersection points, that first curve is the one that's above. Okay. All right. So, you know, if you had more intersection points, same idea, just between any two consecutive intersection points, you take some value between, plug them in to determine which curve is above, which curve is below over those different over the regions between those intersection points. Okay. So this is above. So finally, the area. Right, now we can set up the area that we want to get. That's going to give us the area of this region between these two curves. So integral from negative 1 to 2. Again, coming from the intersection points. And then between those intersection points, this first curve is the one above. So that curve 1 is above. Right, minus the curve below. Minus x, right? The value of that integral then will give us that area. Okay. So at this point now this is just a matter of computing this integral. You know, simplify what you have inside of here, and then integrate what you get from negative 1 to 2. So let me leave that to you. Compute. Again, that's written up on the solutions. Okay, you know, but the whole first part of the problem is getting to this point, setting up this integral. Always going to be a matter of finding intersection points, and then between the intersection points, determining which curve is on top, which one is on bottom. Okay, any other questions? Yeah.
Should the top curve and the bottom curve switch?
Yeah.
Is there a way to determine that without graphing?
Right. So in this case, you know, in this case, we ended up with two intersection points. So something where you end up with say three intersection points. You know, so you have some intersection point here, here, here. You know, so let me say that this happened to me. Maybe this happened to be negative 2. This one happened to be 0. This one happened to be x equals 2. You know, same idea. Between negative 2 and between negative 2 and 0, take some value between there, say like x equals negative 1, plug that into your two curves, and see which one gives you the larger y value. Okay, same thing for this region. Take some value between there, say x equals 1, plug that into the two curves, and see which one gives you the larger y value. So exactly the same thing we did, only you might have to do it more than once if there's more than two intersection points. But there shouldn't be any need to graph these to see what they look like. Just testing points between intersections will be enough. Okay, so another question? Yeah?
What's there three lines to work with?
I'm not gonna ask, but you know, it would be the same idea. For example, there was something on the homework where you know you had maybe something like this. You were trying to find the area of this region here. Same idea. The difference in this case is the curve at the top is changing. So, you know, here we have this curve on top, and then it switches to this other curve on top. So in this case, you'd have to break this up into two pieces, you know, like region 1, region 2. Over region 1, you know, here's your curve on top, curve on bottom. Over region 2, a different curve on top. This curve's still on the bottom. You'd have two integrals, each integral giving you the area of these two pieces separately, and then adding them up. Okay, so same idea, but I'm not gonna have three curves on the final. Okay, other questions? Okay, so last problem I think should be pretty straightforward. So the last problem might give you some cost function, some revenue function, and the question is to maximize profit. So, I'm not going to rewrite the functions I have here. You know, let's just say how you would solve it. You know, profit is revenue minus cost. So that's something I tell you. In the problem itself. So you take this revenue function you're given, you take the cost function, subtract them to get the profit function. So let's at least do that. If we take this revenue function I have minus this cost function I have, you'll end up with negative x squared plus 200x. Yeah, negative x squared plus 200x. Okay, so you know, first step is writing down your profit function, and then if we want to maximize profit, you know, that just means maximize this function, take its derivative, set it equal to 0, and solve for x. So not too much work here. Derivative is just going to be negative 2x plus 200. Right, set it equal to 0, solve for x. That'll give us x is 100. We have to sell 100 units of this product to maximize profit. And then I also ask you, you know, to make sure that this is a maximum profit, not a minimum profit. So that would mean, you know, second derivative test, compute the second derivative, and make sure that the second derivative is negative at that value that you found. Okay, so it's again this full solution is written up online, but I think you know I think this is probably the simplest of these problems on the practice final. Okay, any final questions? All right. See you Monday. Have a good weekend.